All right, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to two places. And I want you to kind of go over to Second Chronicles, chapter number 28, and kind of mark that. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah gave two wonderful prophecies about the coming of Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at this tonight as we get to our text. And we're just going to look at, mainly going to look at one word that the Bible says. There's actually several things about Jesus and about names that he has been called. And so in Isaiah chapter number 7, and we're going to flip back in just a minute, and by way of introduction, the Bible says in chapter number 7 of Isaiah, verse number 1, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and king of Israel, went up towards Jerusalem to wear war against it, but could not prevail against it." So we see these nations that are going up to war against Jerusalem, and it was in the days of King Ahaz. Now, here's the thing. We're going to look at a couple of prophecies concerning Jesus. And what I want you to realize is when Isaiah was prophesying to Israel about these things, it was during a time of war. Not only was it during a time of war, it was during a time of the reign of King Ahaz. And so what kind of person was Ahaz? Were they came up to war against him, and the Bible said they could not prevail against Jerusalem. These people could not. And I'll tell you why they could not in a minute, but I want to look at Ahaz, this king of Israel. And it's given to us in 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. We will start reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 28, and it tells us about Ahaz. Now, let me explain to you this. Isaiah is one of the prophets, the major prophets. I was telling everybody, I was talking in the Hope Addiction Program one night. We're talking about the Bible. All the major and minor prophets plug into what we call the historical books of the Bible, which are Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, First and Second Samuel, First and Second Chronicles, First and Second Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Those are the historical books of the Bible, and those prophetic books plug in there. So what we were reading in Isaiah at the time it was taking place was here in 2 Chronicles, historically was 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. And so we can find out some things about Ahaz. Ahaz, the Bible says in verse number 28, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Well, let's ask, what kind of man was he? What kind of king was he? Now remember, was God going to let those armies prevail against Jerusalem? No, he said he wouldn't. But, well, we just read just a minute ago. And notice what it says. Let's look at some things about him. "But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father." So we know, number one, he wasn't like David. David was a man after God's own heart. Did he do things wrong? Yes. But for the most part, he tried to walk. The Bible said in verse number 2, "For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel." Now remember, Israel was the northern kingdom. Judah was the southern kingdom. The kings in the northern kingdom, anybody know how many of them were good kings? None. That's exactly right. There was not one good king in the northern kingdom. And that's why God allowed them to be taken captive 100 years before he allowed Judah in the southern place, because Judah did have some good kings. They had some revivals. It says, "For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel." What else did he do? He made also molten images for Balaam. Good or bad that he's making images for Balaam? The Bible says, according to the second commandment, that we're not to make any images. And so here he is making the images. Notice what it says in verse number 3. "Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom." Good thing to burn incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom? Where are you supposed to burn incense at? In the temple. And God, it was very specific of who could burn the incense, and it was very specific about the type of incense they could burn. What happened to one of Aaron's sons who burnt the wrong kind of incense? Do you remember? God killed him. And so nothing that's mentioned here. And then here's what's sad. He burned his children in the fire. The God in the Old Testament who people would sacrifice their children to was a God called Molech. I don't know if this is Molech. It's the only one I know of. The God Molech, if my memory, he had a body like a man. He had a head like a dog. And he would be made normally of an iron. and his belly would be a place where it would open up, and they would put fire in his belly. They would build a hot, hot fire in his belly, and they said they could normally, with the type of metal they would use, his arms were out like this, and they could heat that metal so hot that those arms would turn red. And what people would do is they would take their babies and they would lay them on those red hot arms, and they would burn them or sacrifice them. And the Bible says that this King Ahaz, that he would he burnt his children in the fire after the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Notice in verse number 4, it said he sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high place and on the hills. So King Ahaz, is he a good man or a bad man? Very bad man, very wicked king. So let's turn back over there. And in the days of Isaiah, he lived in the days of King Ahaz. And so in verse number 3, look at what God says. God says, "Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Sheresh thy son." And he says, go meet him. And look at what the Bible says in verse number 6. He says, "Let us go against Judah and vex it." Judah is the Syrian, all those people. They're talking about going against Judah. And look at what the Lord said in verse number 7. "Thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass." It's not going to happen. And this prophecy goes on all the way through chapter number 9. So here it is, a wicked king in a bad day, and yet they give him two of the most wonderful prophecies in the whole world that we have, especially concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at those two. Number one, look at what the Bible says in verse number 14, chapter 7, verse number 14. Here's the first prophecy. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." What is the sign? "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, the word virgin is an interesting word. In the Hebrew, it's Alma. I don't normally do Hebrew lessons, but it's Alma. And it can be, if you look at the definition, it could mean a couple of different things. It could mean virgin, or it could mean a young maiden. So you get into your new translations of the Bible, and guess what they translate it often? A young maiden. Now, what is the problem with translating it a young maiden? Yeah, but also, listen to the context. "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a" what? A sign. A sign from God was always a what? Who said that? Who's I? Okay, thank you very much. I can't tell where the sounds are coming from. My ears are so messed up. A sign is always a miracle. Now, let me ask you a question. Is it a miracle for a young lady to have a baby? Yeah, it is. Yes, you're right. You're exactly right. It is a miracle, but it's a very common. It's not much of a sign, is it? But let me ask you this question. Is it not supernatural for a virgin to have a baby? Now, we get over to the New Testament, and what does the Bible very clearly say that Mary was? A virgin. So we know that that was the prophesying of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to remember, the prophesying of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was in a day of war. It was a day of battle. It was a day of all this wicked stuff going on. And he prophesies for several chapters here. He prophesies all the way through chapter number 9. And I want us to look at another prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ given to us in Isaiah chapter number 9. And in verse number 6, the Bible says, "Unto us a child is born. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So tonight I'd like to preach to you a little bit tonight. I just want to brag on Jesus for a little bit. And I'm just going to title this message, "His name is Wonderful." You know, there's some wonderful things in the world, isn't there? You know, I remember watching, you know, having our first children as they came into the world, and that was a pretty wonderful thing. I remember marrying my wife, that was a wonderful thing. You know, just to be honest, it doesn't take much for us to think it's wonderful, does it? I thought it was pretty cool watching those kids play those bells today. Those songs, I was singing along in my head and stuff with those songs today. And there's a lot of wonderful things, but his name shall be called Wonderful. That whole word, wonderful, talks about who he is. So tonight, I just want to share with you for a little while tonight some ways that he is wonderful, okay? Father, we do pray that you'd bless and help us as we look at this tonight. Lord, just going to take a little bit of time tonight, and we're just going to brag on Jesus being wonderful. And Lord, we're thankful for you sending that son to be given. And he was given so that we could go to heaven. We could trust in him for what he has done. Dear God, please, as we come tonight, may our hearts be open to praise you and worship you and recognize that you are wonderful. I got several points about wonderful. Number one, he was wonderful. Was he not wonderful in his birth? Now, births are wonderful anyway. I love telling the story of Hannah being born. I won't go into it in detail, but you know, when Deborah was in the room there, and it ended up being a C-section, and I still went in the room and all of that. But that was an amazing thing watching that baby come. And of course, Deborah had the way they tried to numb her didn't work real well. So as soon as Hannah was taken out and she was no longer getting anything from her mother, the doctor, the anesthesiologist, put her asleep and stuff, and she didn't even get to see Hannah. Did they let you see her? They let her see her, and then they put her to sleep. And, man, I mean, it was really funny to watch them put her to sleep, too, because her eyes rolled back in her head, and she started snoring. And she snored forever. But so I was in there watching them, and I don't know, I didn't even know it at the time, but they do tests on those children. They do a test, and they check everything to make sure it's all right. And a perfect score, is a perfect score 9, Steve? Do you know? Is perfect score is 9, and they gave Hannah an 8. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. She looks perfect to me. I thought I was going to have to whoop the guy in there that was testing her. But she had her, now I'm going to do this with my finger, but it was her big toe, I think, on her right foot that was bent because she was breech. And so the guy would straighten it out, and it just kept going down. He said, I can only give her an 8 because that toe won't stand up, you know, and he explained it to me and stuff. And so she was an 8. And, man, I'm telling you what, I was emotionally drained. That was a pretty wonderful thing. I've told you, I walked out, there was the phone. I called my mom and dad, was just going to share the good news that we had a baby. And I thought I was in control. I heard my mama go, hello. I said, it's a baby girl. I had to hang up the phone. I couldn't even talk because it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. Deborah was out for several hours, and I've sat in that room and just rocked her for hours on end, looking down and thinking that this child was a part of me. I whispered in her ear hundreds of times as she was a little baby, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. Whispered that in her ear over and over again. As I held that baby, I realized she was a part of me. Do you know when Jesus was born, he was God. God of heaven looked down upon him. So he was wonderful in his birth. Let me give you some things. It was wonderful because, as we mentioned, it was a virgin birth. His mother had known not man. It was wonderful because of the place where he was born. God had foretold in the book of Micah that he would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. The problem with that is not where Mary and Joseph was from, and they weren't planning on having their baby in Bethlehem, Judah, but God in heaven moved upon the king's heart to do a taxation, and they had to go back to their city to be taxed. And so while they were there, the place was exactly where Jesus said. Then the angels came that night because his birth was so wonderful. The angels came and they told the shepherds what had happened, and the shepherds that were in their watching their flocks by night. Can you imagine? Well, it's another night to spend watching our flocks. Same old, every day, day in, day out. There are some people who believe, and I don't know that this is all true historically. I think it is. But there at Bethlehem, they raised the lambs. They kept the lambs for the sacrifice offerings. And these lambs were made they were perfect lambs, and they would make sure that they were kept in such a way. Matter of fact, they would swaddle those lambs when nobody was around, so they couldn't run around and everything, because they did not want them to get a cut or something on them to make them ineligible for that. And so the shepherds were out there doing what they did. Little did they know that night, something special had taken place. There was a special birth. And the shepherds went. I was reading in Luke 2 earlier today, just over there reading the Christmas story. And after the angels came, they were sore afraid. And the angels said, "Fear not," and told them the story. And they went and looked down upon that birth. Then that very night in the east, there appeared a star, a special star. You know, how many of y'all, there could be a new star appear in the sky tonight and you wouldn't know about it? Raise your hand. Yep. I mean, how many of you, they could say, if you get up at midnight, you'll be able to see this planet or this star. How many of you get up? You get up? I don't get up. They say, are you going to get up and look at it? No. Hey, at 2:00 in the morning, you'll be able to see a meteorite shower. I said, come to my house at 6:00 in the morning, you'll be able to see me take a shower. You know, I'm more interested in that than I am a meteor. I'm just not into what's going on in the heavens. But you do understand, there are people who watch the heavens. And that night, there was a special star appeared in the sky that night, because his birth was wonderful. And those wise men, because they saw it, and they said, it is his star. I get to heaven, I want to talk to those wise men and find out how they knew it was his star. We don't have anything that I know of in the Bible that says on the night that he was going to be born, there was going to be a star, but there was a prophecy somewhere. Some men think, because they were in Babylon, that maybe Daniel had a prophecy that we don't know about, but they were looking for that star, and that star appeared that night. So he was wonderful in his birth. Then he lived on this earth for 30 some odd years. And he was wonderful in his life. In his life. You know, in Matthew chapter number 3, when Jesus came and he got baptized, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came down and abode on him in the form of a dove. And there was a voice from heaven, which was God the Father. And you remember what God said? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He was wonderful in his life. Why was he wonderful in his life? Well, because he had compassion on people. Well, wouldn't it be nice today if we lived in a day of compassion? It was funny, I was talking to you about how Joseph this morning didn't want to shame Mary. We were going to listen to the thing today, and I went straight at my road and went down to that road over there by past Walmart and went to get on Highway 45, and there was a guy standing there with a sign. Any of you seen that guy over there with a sign? And he's got the name of this woman, this girl. He said, this woman, he said, she's a thief, a meth head, and convicted of theft, meth, and illegal having a gun or something, and said, she won't let me see my baby daughter. You know? I thought, well, he ain't like Joseph when I went by there. And I've seen him standing there twice. He just goes and stands there with that sign to let you know. And I remember the name, but I'm not going to call it out because I don't know what the story. I don't know the girl and everything. But you know what? That guy has no compassion for this girl and all that, but he was a compassion. How do we know he was compassion? Well, we know he's compassion because he healed the sick. He healed the sick. What about that woman who had that issue for 30 some odd years? And she had been to the doctors and spent everything she had on the doctors. And that one day, here came Jesus, and she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I could be made whole. And she touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. Let me ask you, did the hem of his garment make her whole? Her faith in who made her whole? Her faith in Jesus made her whole. Did Jesus know what had happened? He knew what had happened. He asked the question, hey, who touched me? And the disciples looked at him and said, hey, there's all kinds of people around here. You've been touched. He said, but virtue went out of me. Strength went out of me. And that woman fell at his feet and said, I only wanted to be made whole. And he said, your faith has made thee whole. He had compassion on the sick. And we could talk about those other things. Listen, he had compassion. He opened the eyes of the blind. I love the song, when Jesus passed by, blind Bartimaeus sitting there on the side of the road. Blind Bartimaeus hears a commotion going on. He couldn't see anything. He hears a commotion going on. And he finds out, he says, what's the commotion going on? I hear a lot of noise. They said, Jesus is coming. And he said, oh, Jesus, the Son of God, would you help me? And the disciples said, shh, he's a busy man. Leave him alone. And Jesus said, what does he ask for? Ask for his sight. Jesus takes the time to give him his sight because Jesus was a compassionate person. And Jesus' life was wonderful. He opened the eyes of the blind. He healed the lame. I like the story of the man who was lame, and his friends brought him to Jesus and was going to get him to be healed, you know. And he couldn't get in because there were so many people there. And so they climbed up on the roof and they tore the tile off the roof and they lowered him down into the roof. And you know what? That man was crippled, and they lowered him into that roof. And you know what Jesus told him? Before he healed him, you remember what he told him? He also forgave them their sins. He said, thy sins are forgiven. Remember how the Pharisees reacted to that? Only God could forgive sins. And Jesus said, you're right. And that you might know that this is the work of God and that I can heal sins. Here's what I'm going to say. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. And that old boy got up and took up his bed, and he walked that day. Why? Because Jesus was wonderful in his life. And Jesus forgave sins. He raised the dead. You know, can you imagine that woman whose son was dead and they were carrying him out to bury him, and Jesus stops the burial. Here's a woman whose heart is broken because her child is dead, and Jesus raised him from the dead. What about little Tabitha that Jesus raised from the dead? Not only that, Jesus was wonderful in his life. He had compassion. He cast out demons. Remember the man there in Mark chapter number 5, the demonic of Gadara, who cut himself and ran through the tombs and broke chains and all of those things. But he ran up to Jesus and he said, have mercy on me. And Jesus cast out his sins. The Bible says that he also comforted the brokenhearted. Yes, Jesus was wonderful in his birth, but Jesus was also wonderful in his life. He was wonderful in his words. Don't you love the Bible? You read the Bible. I hope God speaks to your heart when you read the Bible. I like what they said about Jesus one time. They said, never a man spake like this before. Man, they came to him one day and they said, what do you want? And said, we would see Jesus. We want to hear from Jesus. Jesus would teach, and they would, in the beginning of his ministry, they would come by the thousands as he came out. Why? Because he's wonderful in his birth. He's wonderful in his life. He was wonderful in his words. You know, here's the thing. He always spoke the truth. You know, if you tell anybody that Mike Evans has always spoke the truth, I'm going to tell them he's a liar. You know? Because the truth of the matter is, there's none of us in this room that has always spoke the truth, have it? But his words were always the truth. He was wonderful not only in his words, not only in his life, not only in his birth. He was also wonderful in his death. No one ever died like he did. There he is, nailed to the cross. Picture him there that day. They nail him to the cross, and what does he say? What's his first saying? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he goes through that, and it comes to the place where the Bible says he didn't just die. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. Before he did it, he cried, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. You know, Jesus Christ himself said, no man taketh my life. I lay it down that I might take it up again. How many people have died in the history of mankind? In the 6,000 to 7,000 years that we've been down here, how many people have died? But there was never one that died like the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that voluntarily died. You know, he died willingly. He said, I give my life that I might take it up again. He said, no man can take my life. He said that there were legions of angels that would have come at his beck and call to stop it from happening. And I believe those angels wanted to come and stop it from happening as they looked at Jesus being crucified that day. I am convinced them angels had no idea what was going on, but he willingly gave his life. There was nobody who died like the Lord Jesus Christ. He gladly gave his life. Why did he gladly give his life? He gladly gave his life that you and I might live. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He has come to give that abundant life. Let me ask you, what kind of life are you living now? Is your life ho-hum? Is your life mundane? Do you just go through the motions of life? Why? Because Jesus came to give life. He died willingly. He died for you and I so that we could live forever. What a blessing that is. Listen, not only was he wonderful in his birth, not only was he wonderful in his life, not only was he wonderful in his words, not only was he wonderful in his death, he was also wonderful in his resurrection. I actually thought about getting it. I didn't do it tonight. I do like to read that poem sometime. Old Clyde Box, I don't know if Clyde Box wrote it. I think it may be unknown. Old Satan, you know, one day Satan's sitting there at the tomb. Father Time comes by and says, "Satan, what are you doing sitting at the tomb?" He said, "Well, I got a special one in here." "Well, Death, you've been keeping people, you've been putting people in the tomb forever. This one's special." He said he had come back. He said, "But I'm not letting him out." And so the next day, Father Time shows up and Death's sitting by the tomb. "Well, how's it going?" "Well, it's been pretty quiet. Everything's all right." Second day, he shows up. "How's things going?" He says, "Well, I'm getting a little tired of this." It's a poem. It's a wonderful poem. He says, "I'm getting a little tired of this. Been here 2 days now." Shows up on that third day and says, "What about now?" He said, "Well, I'm fixing to leave. He's not come out or not." And Father Time went on. All of a sudden, the earth shook. And he heard a scream. And he went back. And there lay Death on the ground. And he's like, "What happened?" And he said he came out of the grave and he took the keys of death. You know what? Death doesn't have a victory over you and I anymore today. It doesn't have a victory over us because Jesus Christ was wonderful in his resurrection, praise God. What a wonderful thing it was that he was resurrected, and he robbed Satan of his mightiest weapon of death. You and I don't have to fear death anymore because it's lost its sting and the grave has lost the victory, and you and I are not bound by that. You know, you go out to this graveyard today and you stand by the graveyard of somebody that you love and you know they're saved. Can I tell you where they ain't? They ain't there. Now, if you find comfort in going, that's okay. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that only thing that is left in that grave site is a worn out old body. And one of these days, it's going to be resurrected and it's going to be transformed into a new body, a body that's not bound by time nor space. It'll be like the body that the Lord Jesus Christ have. Why? Because he was wonderful in his resurrection. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You know, you can preach a message on every one of those names, just like I did tonight on the word wonderful. But let me ask you tonight, are we living in such a way that people know that he's wonderful to us? You know, the things that are wonderful we like to talk about, don't we? Do we talk about the things of Jesus? Do we live like his wonderful life had an effect on us? This is the Christmas holiday. It's all about his birth. But as you look at all of the things that are going on, how much of it is about him? I was watching one of the videos of that thing called Wretched, and they were talking about, that guy said, you know, he said, "Look, if you're not going to put Christ in Christmas, then if you want to call it a winter program, some winter solstice, whatever, you call it whatever you want to, but if you don't put Christ in it, it's not Christmas." This Christmas season, may I challenge you tonight? Could we live like Jesus is wonderful? Something that you have that is wonderful, is it not special to you? And let's live this Christmas season like he is wonderful and he is special to us. Would you stand tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? We'll have a word of prayer. Listen, if tonight you'd like to come to an old-fashioned altar, or maybe just do it right there at your pew, you'd just like to praise God for being wonderful. because he was wonderful. And remember this, the day that Isaiah was prophesying about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was in a day when the nation of Israel or the southern kingdom of Judah was going to be at war. And he said, his name is wonderful. Can I tell you, biblically speaking, we're in a war today. We're in a war with Satan and the demons of hell and the world and all of those other things. But even when there's a war going on, Jesus is still wonderful. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for how wonderful Jesus is. I thank you for how wonderful he is in his birth, for how wonderful he was in his life, for how wonderful he was in his words, for how wonderful he was in his death, and for how wonderful he was in his resurrection. Dear God, please help us to live in such a way to glorify him and let the world know that we think that he is wonderful. Help us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.